This episode of the Polygon Show is brought to you by Lego. Before they were engineers, many of the creative minds at Lego were kids who received a special gift, leading them down a path to build worlds at Lego. This year, spark curiosity. Add Lego to your holiday traditions. With millions of unique sets available for the special person on your list, there's something for everyone. Every gift has a story. Start building your story today. Learn more at lego.build/polygon. That's lego.build/polygon. Hello and welcome to the Polygon Show. I'm your host today, Ashley O, and I have with me today Simone de Rochefort.
Hi, I'm still alive.
And Allegra Frank.
Hello.
And Chelsea Stark.
Hello.
Hello. Now, I'm going to ask all my co-hosts this week on Thanksgiving week, what are we all most thankful for? I will start with Chelsea.
Wait, are we talking games or just things in life?
Both.
I'm most thankful for idle games like Match 3 games and Solitaire.
I thought you meant like idle games like Idolmaster.
Thinking of like cute anime girls.
Wishing you did, live. Chelsea. I wish you were thankful. That's fine.
You know what? I'm more thankful for Hatsune Miku's existence. The
Aww.
End.
True.
Wow.
But I mean, I love a good game where I can zone out and listen to something else or do something else or just be in a happy place of like, I'm just gonna match all these colors and get into Zen mode. You know, like something like that. That's what I'm thankful for. I don't know if I answered the question in the right topic.
You did. I think that's a very good answer. I also like those games. It's good to just zone out. Allegra, what are you thankful for?
I was going to go with a game too, but I'm going to go with something else. It's game related though.
If you say friendship, I'm going to have to quit because I
would I ever say friendship?
No, I know.
Wow.
No, I do love all my friends and I'm very grateful for them and I want all of my friends to be happy and it makes me very happy to be with you guys, three of my very favorite friends. However, this may sound mean. I have two roommates, all right? Both of them are going away for Thanksgiving. One of them's just going to be away for like a day or two. Other one's away for like a week. You know what that means? It means I get to sit on my couch with no pants on, watching my beautiful 55-inch 4K UHD television that I love. And
you
I
even get to sleep
on
the couch.
Is that your TV?
I get to sleep. I bought it, baby.
Oh.
What? Isn't it a great TV?
When did you buy that 4K TV, Allegra? I can't pay for my popcorn, Frank.
What? That is a good burn. That is a good.
I can't. Listen, TV versus popcorn.
You saved it all for the TV. I guess that's admirable. I respect
that. Years of not buying popcorn is what bought me that TV, Ashley.
Damn.
So I'm very thankful. I don't go anywhere for Thanksgiving. I'm gonna like drop in, drop out for dinner, but. And like drop in, drop out co-op, baby.
That sounded like you're about to throw some other work jargon at us. Drop in, drop out, you know, because you're going to be out of pocket the rest of time.
Oh my God.
Doing my P&L, my profits and losses and some biz dev meetings. But I
just wanted to circle back on that turkey.
Yeah.
Going to sleep on my couch. Going to play Red Dead Redemption with HDR and going to watch 90 Day Fiancé.
What's 90 Day Fiancé?
Tell me about 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh my God. I'm also thankful for 90 Day Fiancé.
What is that?
I don't want to hog this, but you guys will be thankful for it too, I think. It's a TLC show about one American and one person from out of the country, and they meet and fall in love, like either on vacation or online or something. And then the American wants to get married to the foreign person, and the way to do that is they have to bring the foreign person on a visa over to America, and it's a 90 day visa, so they have 90 days to really get to know each other and see if they want to get married. And it's so good. The drama is so good.
How do they keep making people fall in love?
That part's inscrutable to me, that they keep finding people who are in love.
That's really weird.
They find a lot of... Okay, so I have only experienced this show through YouTube highlight reels of cringe compilations.
Oh, it's so
and
good.
Yo, it's so...
Is it very staged? I mean, I know some of those are really fun, even if they do look very staged.
I don't think it's very staged because the episode I was watching yesterday had a like actual footage of a C-section.
What?
That's hard to fake. It was really
What does this have to do with a visa?
What did he? What? Did someone get someone else pregnant?
Okay, so.
Well,
I forget. It was Olga and Steven, all right? They're 20 years old. They met on like study abroad.
And Olga's from America, right?
Olga's from Russia. And they had sex once and they got pregnant. Literally once. And then Steven's like, well, I want to be there for my baby, which I think is fair. So he went to Russia to go be there for the birth of his baby. And Olga's like, what do I do? I'm 20. I just want to go party. And then Olga's in labor for like thousands of hours. And then they're like, we got to cut you open, take this baby out with our hands. And Steven's like, this is gross. And Olga's like, this is gross.
This was in Russia?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then they named the baby Richie.
I take back. I thought you were going to say that this was one of those Netflix Christmas romance movies. And it does not sound like that. And I don't like
Actually, at first, it sounded like a K-drama. 90 Day Fiancé. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a really cute Korean romance.
No. That would be much better.
This is not...
It's neither cute nor Korean.
Well, that episode is not cute. Or Korean. You're right.
I didn't even get to see the baby.
Oh,
they didn't
really?
Even show the baby.
Could you imagine they pull the baby out, they blur Richie's face because he couldn't sign a consent form?
Oh my God.
It is beautiful. Wah! There's just a blurry head.
Literally after the C-section and they take the baby out, it just goes to Photoshop down.
Maybe they couldn't like get... Because of like baby laws and how much babies can work on a set, they couldn't get the baby.
Yeah, like all those hours of labor, it's like baby worked too much today.
Baby works too much. It's tired. It has to go to take a nap.
Baby came out of a stomach today. It's enough. Don't tire the baby out. Wow. Okay. Thank you for that enlightening bit of TV talk, Simone.
What am I thankful for? I'm thankful that I've left my bed and my house more often in the last 2 days than I did all last week. I don't know what I'm thankful for, you guys. I'm so tired. No, here's what I'm thankful for. Being able to sleep lying down instead of sitting up and not coughing.
Damn, you are full of
fluids.
Because
I can't sleep lying down. I'm so full of fluids. They happen when I lie down.
Oh, God.
So I have to sleep sitting up. And
really?
It took me a long time to figure that out. It's been a lot of sleepless nights. So, yeah, I'm thankful for being able to lie down.
Have you done the halfway thing where you, like, prop up your lower back with, like, two or three pillows so you are kind of reclining?
That's what I'm doing, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the best. And then you could also comfortably watch TV and fall asleep without excess fluid buildup. I'm very sorry.
Dredge it's back my neck and I look
show,
like
the
a
fluid episode.
Yeah. I look like a wax corpse when I sleep now.
What?
With no. One hand outstretched with a giant diamond ring
for no reason. Yes.
Oh, good.
No, I wish somebody could take a picture of me sleeping because I want to know what it looks
get
like.
Julia!
No.
Julia!
Come photograph me while I recline.
Julia!
What if she's just waiting for me to fall asleep and then comes in, but I'm not asleep yet? I'm just sitting up with my eyes wide open.
In the dark?
What if that's also how you found out you slept with your eyes wide open? Like,
yeah, that too.
Simone's just staring at you.
What are you grateful for, Ashley?
Oh.
Oh, you didn't think about it, did you?
I thought I could get out of the question. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Well, I'm grateful for my co-hosts.
Aww.
Oh, my God.
Wait.
No, but seriously.
Sincere. I'm grateful for this donut that my co-host Ashley brought me.
Aww. Yeah.
Aww.
You were feeling
delicious.
Very under the weather, and I told you about
very
those
kind.
Delicious apple cider donuts that are from a delicious farm in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I I took them, and I just like refrigerated them. I sealed them in like two different ways. I was like, I need to make these donuts last. And they are very good. I had one actually yesterday for breakfast. But yes, I have really nice coworkers. I'm also grateful for my ungrateful cat. He is a wonderful source of comfort in times of stress. He's very good. I think he has learned to not eat Camilla, who is my new aloe plant.
Oh,
I think he's getting along with her. I saw him this morning on the windowsill, and he was sitting next to her, like with his paws tucked in. And I was like, good, good. You're getting along with your baby sister.
That's so good.
So hopefully he won't. I saw him when I first brought her in. He loves pointy edges. So he loves like the like corners of like box flaps and just runs his cheek along like the edge of a box flap.
Of course.
He just loves sharp edges, which is kind of scary. But I was like,
Big fan of the HBO series Sharp Objects.
I bet he would be. But I just gently poked him in like the tum every time he would just like open his mouth near it. I'm like, shh. You're siblings now.
That's so good.
We'll see.
No, I don't know. We got 3 plants recently because we're like, finally, adults, plants.
Mm-hmm.
And Vegas ate a fern.
Oh, no!
She infected it when Petrana and Jenna were over carving pumpkins. Like, she walked over to the fern and chopped it very aggressively.
She was waiting until you were distracted?
Yeah, yeah. She was like, look, new people, look what I can do.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to eat this plant. And then she threw it up to her.
I really want a fern. I know this sounds weird, but I really want a fern. I think they're beautiful, and I want one, but I'm also afraid that because, you know, you generally keep them, like, on the floor-ish.
We got a little one from that new nursery that opened up near both of our apartments.
Yes, I love that nursery. We have lots of plant things going on now. But yeah, he's not... The aloe plant's kind of spiky.
Yeah, it's got ridges.
Maybe he won't, but we'll see how he and Camilla work it out.
I hope they get along.
I love plant names.
Don't get any lilies.
Oh, no.
Nobody get lilies.
What? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, this week we have some eventful things going on.
Do we?
Yes.
What are they?
By eventful, I mean we have a lot of TV talk.
Oh, yay. It's one of those weeks.
It's TV talk mixed with game talk, which is my favorite.
We should have made this an official. If it weren't for Pokemon Let's Go, I think it would be another cartoon episode.
Yeah. Aww.
But because of Pokemon Let's Go... Allegra.
Sorry. Well, I'm definitely also going to talk about Pokemon.
Yeah, Binge.
Yeah. I want to hear you both talk about it so I can decide if I want to buy it.
Yeah, Simone.
Okay, fine. Do the people want to hear about video games on the video game podcast?
The only TV I watched this week was
14 minutes into the video game podcast.
This is 14 minutes of good talk. They learned about a plant.
We did also talk about TV.
Yeah.
Just not
90
good
days
TV.
Of fiance. Yeah.
90 days of fiance.
I was going to say 90 days of fiance, like 500 days of summer.
90 days
oh,
of fiance.
What a terrible mashup that would be. Imagine doing that show in the style of that movie.
God.
Oh, I would love that so much. With
Steven,
the soundtrack.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is Steven.
I'm going to recut 90 Day Fiance into a trailer that matches the 500 days of summer.
Stop. Oh, that movie just made me so sad and so sad and so sad.
Yep.
But on a less sad note, though, we have 2 people, Allegra and me, who will talk about Pokemon Let's Go before we jump into Netflix talk, which is, I feel like, sorely lacking recently. I love Netflix talk. I watch way too much Netflix. I know everyone's like, oh, but I do too. I'm like, no, you don't understand.
No.
I go through full seasons in like maybe 24 hours or less.
Well, it's nice because it's awesome. I can come to you with my extremely old takes on Great British Baking Show. So.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Oh, so much TV talk is going to happen. But first, we got to get Pokemon out of the way.
Yes.
So, Allegra, in your opinion... Which version do you think Eevee or Pikachu our listeners should get?
Eevee. Easily.
Why?
Easily.
No.
Obviously. Anyway.
So Eevee. Okay. I wrote an article about this on Polygon.com. HTTPS. Okay, so I did it backwards. I'm sorry.
It's a secure network. HTTPS.
Yes, it is. So Eevee version. First of all, Pokemon Let's Go is sort of, it's based on Pokemon Yellow and Red and Blue. In Pokemon Yellow, you have a Pikachu partner. That game, You can play it right now on your 3DS. You can have a Pikachu partner. There are several other games where you have a Pikachu partner or even play as a Pikachu.
You know, Detective Pikachu.
There's Hey You Pikachu. There's Pokemon Channel. You know how many games you can play as Eevee? Zero. And this one you still can't play as Eevee, but you have an Eevee that follows you around. Secondly, you can still have a Pikachu very early on in Pokemon Let's Go Eevee version. I have a Pikachu. I just evolved into a Raichu. Her name is Lindsay.
Oh,
wow. Good name.
She's great.
I love it.
Yeah, and my Eevee's name is Frankie.
That's cute.
So basically, you can already have the best of both worlds. You just can't dress up that Pikachu. But that's fine because you can dress the heck out of your Eevee, and it is so cute. And I finally found out how to do the hairstyles thanks to Petrana, who wrote a wonderful guide on Polygon.com. What?
Some of those hairstyles are upsetting, especially the bangs.
The bangs are turf bangs.
I think the bangs are less offensive. No. Those bangs are way less offensive than the faux hawk. I do not enjoy the faux hawk.
Yeah, I don't like the faux hawk.
Oh, what did you name your rival, Allegra? I was surprised in this one you can name your rival.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. My rival has the best name. I named my rival Vinch.
Oh, Lord.
So every time Vinch comes up, it's
they
just
let
like,
you do that?
Yeah. It's just like Vinch says, like, hey, Allegra, want to fight? Vinch used, like Pikachu or whatever. And then later on, I don't know if you've gotten to this part, Ashley, I want to hear about your adventure, but Gary Oak shows up. Blue, his name is. And Blue's like, hey, Allegra and Vinch. It makes me laugh every time. But that happens in Pikachu or Eevee version. So good. But yeah, so I definitely am an Eevee stan. I love Eevee in general. The one thing I will say is that one of my top 3 or 5 favorite Pokemon is Espeon, and you can't evolve your partner Pokemon. So I can't evolve my Eevee. It has to be an Eevee the whole game, or a Pikachu the whole game.
Could you get a second Eevee?
Yeah, I mean, also there's the Pokemon Go connectivity, so I could get a billion Eevees from my Pokemon Go game. So then I could have all of them, but I love Espeon, and I would love Frankie to be a beautiful Espeon.
So if you connect to your Pokemon Go game, do those Pokemon go to Let's Go and then never return?
Yeah. Also, here's the other thing. Also,
Chelsea's disgusted.
So, yeah.
That's so weird.
It's one way. Also, I kept saying I wanted an Espeon, but also this takes place in Kanto where Espeon doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But still. But yeah, you can only send them one way. It's kind of weird.
Are Eevee evolutions not first?
Flareon.
Jolteon.
Yeah. Voltreon. Vaporeon.
And Voltron.
Ew. Yeah.
Oh no, I was picturing like a Voltorb Jolteon mashup.
Voltreon.
Where like Jolteon's, all of Jolteon's spikes have impaled Voltorbs on him.
More like Revoltreon.
That's very good.
Because I'm revolted.
Jolteon.
Okay, but you wrote on Polygon, there's a list you wrote of all the Pokemon that are exclusive to Pikachu and exclusive to Eevee.
Yeah.
I feel like the ones that are exclusive to Eevee are gross, with the exception of Vulpix and Ninetales.
Can you read the list out
loud? Here are the ones that are exclusive to Let's Go Pikachu. Sandshrew, Sandslash, Oddish, Gloom, Vileplume, Mankey, Primeape, Growlithe, Grimer, Muck, and Scyther. And then the Eevee list is Ekans, Arbok, Vulpix, Ninetales, who are not gross, Meowth, Bellsprout, Weepinbell, Victreebel, Koffing, Weezing, and Pinsir.
Okay, Meowth is not gross.
Meowth is not gross. Yes. Persian is doubly not gross.
Yeah, Persian's hot.
But, like, Ekans and Arbok are fine, and the rest of that list, I don't like...
Wait, we have to go back.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Persian's hot. That's what Allegra said. She's, like, fixing her necklace idly. Persian's hot.
It is. It's beautiful.
Okay. No, it's beautiful is different than hot.
Yeah. That's different.
Persian is hot AF. Y'all jealous.
But Grimer.
And Muck?
Yeah, that's...
Okay, wait.
The sludge Pokemon.
You're right. Those are
But I do
gross.
Like Growlithe.
Growlithe is so good. That
the
almost
Growlithe
makes me want
to... Growlithe's great.
Yeah. I've seen... I guess it's... I feel like almost cruel because the Pokemon that are exclusive to the Pikachu version, because I have Eevee, and I've gone up against some trainers, and like they all have those Pokemon. Like I fought a Growlithe, I fought, you know, all these other
it's
things,
not
and
fair.
It's so rude that I can't get them. I thought when I saw Sandshrew last night, I was like, oh, cute. I can't wait to get one.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, I can't now. And I'm locked out of my Pokemon Go account, so I'll never get anything.
Oh, no.
Can you connect someone else's Pokemon Go account to and transfer to you?
Are you going to steal someone's Pokemon on Steph?
Okay. You actually can.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Well, I suspect that if you play Pokemon Go, you probably have multiples of the same
round. Yeah.
I sent myself a Sandshrew yesterday and a Slowpoke.
Can you hook your Pokemon Go Go account to multiple Let's Go's?
Yeah, I think so.
So you could share your Pokemon.
Yeah,
with all of us.
I could. I could also just trade with you guys.
Be the provider for us.
I will be the provider. I've sent Simone into a coughing fit. She is so shocked by
this
revelation. It's
me. I'm exclusive to Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
A lot of these.
My name is coughing.
A lot of these exclusive Pokemon for Let's Go Eevee, I'm surprised, like, I've already encountered. Like, a lot of these are, like, right off the bat from the beginning of the game. Like, I already have an Ekans, I have a Vulpix, a Meow. My Bellsprout is the most amazing Bellsprout in the world.
Yeah.
I haven't named it yet. I will. I've only named my Eevee.
May I suggest Rodney?
That's for Bellsprout?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about that for Bellsprout.
My
Bellsprout. I know I said I was good, but I take it back.
I actually, not to interrupt, but I have a really good name for my Bellsprout.
What is it?
I named it Nice because I think it had like 69 combat power or something. So every time it did something good, I'd be like, ah, nice. And I was like, oh, that's also your name. And it's really good.
You are a very special lady.
Thank you for that lovely addition.
It is nice.
Oh, is this a lowland Persian?
Oh, yeah. We should.
Oh, yeah.
We shouldn't talk about that one.
So, yeah, I think the Pokemon Let's Go. I also have Eevee because, like Allegra said, Eevee is the best. And Pikachu has gotten plenty of publicity already.
Yes, that's true.
So my Eevee's name is Marnie. She's
so cute.
A lady.
Oh, I love that.
She just looks like a Marnie.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Marnie. She rides on my hat. I do actually have a companion Pikachu, and that Pikachu, like, just, I mean, that Pikachu's doing all the hard work, man. Everywhere I run, Pikachu's finding the objects. Pikachu's and Eevee's just like, I'm just going to sit up here on her hat. Which is fine with me. I mean, she's a princess.
How
I love my Eevee.
How did you style her hair?
I didn't style yet. I'm not sure if I get that option in the beginning yet.
You can only
play with her now.
So what you have to do is you have to, like, rub her forehead, like, but really fast.
But that's what I do. But it's only for, like, partner play is the only thing I can select.
Well, yeah. Wait, so is she,
like,
wearing a hat?
Oh, no, she doesn't know.
Okay.
She has no accessories.
You should be able to do it, because I was just petting her with the partner play thing, or him, sorry, Frankie's boy. And then I was just like really fast on his forehead, and now he has a cute little poof.
Huh. Amazing.
Yeah, you sure there isn't, like, a point in the Pokemon Let's Go game where they, like, you know, you talk to someone, or they're like, oh, hey, here's how to style
I don't
your
think
Pokemon.
So, because I haven't spoken to anyone.
This is actually, so I'm looking at my Pokedex, and it's making me realize I really need to play Pokemon Go more, because I have zero Growlithe or Sandshrews. I have nothing.
What?
I haven't played Pokemon Go in a while.
Well, I only played that one time when it was out 2 years ago.
And then you're locked out. Okay.
It's a long story that is completely boring, but I'm locked out and I can't get it. I also, as I was playing it, I was talking to, Allegra about this, about how, like, the last full Pokemon game I played was Blue.
Mm.
I played snippets of Pearl. I never finished Pearl. And then, like, God, a couple hours of Emerald. But so, like, this is really new to me. I haven't played Pokemon Go, like, that much besides the craze. So I think, like, coming from a standpoint, which I think a lot of other people might be too, right, where they have been only familiar with, like, the original 150 or 151 Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And this one is super streamlined in that, like, there are no more random battles. I mean, there sort of are, but, like, you know, you see the Pokemon, so you can choose to not engage with it. And it actually took me a long time to get used to the fact that when you do encounter this Pokemon, that literally all you can do is throw Pokeballs and catch it or run away. You don't have to battle it to lower its HP to catch it. So for the longest time, actually, it was felt kind of dumb because I was like, how do I level up my Pokemon besides trainer fights? And, you know, you do get experience, obviously, when you catch Pokemon. But I think, like, you know, part of me is like, wait, so do I have to catch like 10 Pidgeys? I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But you do have to do that?
You can't. I think, like, that as a grind is much better, I think, than the random battles. And the fact that, like, you know, in the old Pokemon games, you had to go to the Pokemon Center and access a PC to access your box. In this case, you already have access to it in your main menu.
That's so
you're
really party. Cool. Yeah, that's huge.
It's so nice. And so, you know, the Pokemon you don't want, you send to Professor Oak and you get candies. So I feel like they merged a lot of the best of, you know, recent Pokemon Go mechanics with you know, the classic stuff.
Is there an XP share, like a thing where you can...
It's not an item anymore. It's just like baked in. So everyone gets experience. But the person who's fighting or the Pokemon who's fighting gets the most.
That sounds like the best of the game's mechanics. So that's okay.
Or in trainer battles.
Only in trainer battles though, which... Yeah.
I will say about the wild Pokemon battles, even though I completely agree that, like, I love that I don't have to just randomly fight 45 Zubat. I can just avoid all of them.
I went through Mount Moon so fast. Yeah. I was like, it didn't take me 3 hours.
Right? It was like, oh, this is blessed.
Yeah.
But I find it really hard to get experience because of that. Because Pokemon Go, it feels way more random to me. Like, let's say you're in a trainer or a wild Pokemon battle in the old games where you actually, it's like a one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I know that, okay, if it's a Pidgey and I choose Pikachu, I'll win really fast and it's over and then everyone will get experience. But with Pokemon Let's Go, because it's based on Pokemon Go, it's much harder to know if you're actually going to catch that Pokemon, which is how you get the experience primarily. And it can run away on you, like, pretty easily.
So wait, you don't have to fight wild Pokemon to catch them?
You do, but it's like what Ashley was saying, it's like not a battle against another Pokemon. It's like Pokemon Go where you're kind of just throwing balls at them.
It's
like
that's berries not as a well. Battle.
Yeah, you use berries still.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just like you see the Pokemon and you, it's like the same thing with like the rings and all you can do is either feed it a berry or, yeah, throw your Pokeball. And I think like it was also weird for me too. And they kept being like, make sure to like stock up on Pokeballs. And I looked at how much, you know, they gave you. They give you a lot in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm used to just like being very like a hoarder, right?
Yeah.
Like I feel like I don't get enough Pokeballs and like I finally understand why, because like, oh man, like I've wasted like a good maybe on one Pokemon like 5 just trying to get it.
Yep.
And actually, like, even though the game is super relaxing, I find this to be the most stressful part because like I feel like I'm running low on Great Balls and it's like it's about to, you know, do the star thing to like capture it. I'm just like, I wasted 5 on you and you ran away.
That happened to me this morning with a Tauros. I was so mad.
It's infuriating. Yeah. Though it does use to a degree like the gyroscope in the Switch of like aiming or like, yeah, angling the way
how
you're...
How do you throw the Pokeballs?
It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
I mean, you just honestly press a button. You just wait for the ring to kind of go down at the right time.
You're playing handheld.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, same. So yeah, if you're handheld, you just like, yeah, you wait for the ring and press A. But if you're playing it in the dock or whatever, you have to...
Is that weird? Playing it in the dock? I haven't tried that.
I don't really like controlling it because it's like with one Joy-Con. You have to use one Joy-Con. So it's just like me and like I'm just using my thumb for everything. And it's just really weird to like use the one tiny, tiny controller. But like swinging the Joy-Con to throw the ball is kind of fun.
You said you hated it in your review.
Oh, I hate the Pokeball Plus. That sucks. Chelsea's like, as your editor, we got an update. Pokeball
Plus.
We're gonna
have a talk
sucks.
After this.
It's like nice to like swing it. It's just like I've compared it to like Wii Tennis, where it's like, oh yeah, that's so cool to do it, but like I would not want to play the whole game like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That makes sense.
Can I have a moment for a brief advertiser segment?
No.
Yeah. Coming up next,
To help inspire your holiday gift giving, we have a very special advertiser message from Lego. Check it out.
This is the story of how a single childhood gift sparked a lifetime of creativity. It began with those tiny, colorful bricks that we're all familiar with.
Once I started building with Lego, it really clicked with my brain.
It really is this versatile medium of creation.
That's Grant Davis and Jason Olliman. They worked together on this year's winning concept for Lego Ideas, a platform for fans to showcase builds and possibly have them manufactured by the company. They created a workable pop-up book that tells the stories of Jack and the Beanstalk and Little Red Riding Hood, complete with a 3D grandmother's cottage and a telescoping beanstalk.
I can't remember a time when I didn't want to make a Lego pop-up book.
When he posted one of his prototypes, as soon as I watched that video, I'm like, why didn't I think of that?
Like a lot of us, Grant and Jason got Lego sets as kids, and those early gifts continue to influence them to this day.
So the first ever set I got as a gift was this little temple in the jungle, and there was a mean lion.
The first Technic forklift. It just blew my young mind that you could make these things that, like, gears that mesh together and a steering system that worked out of these, like, little plastic pieces.
For the record, Grant builds and photographs intricate jungle-themed Lego worlds, and Jason creates kinetic Lego sculptures. They trace that back to those first childhood sets. And now, the pop-up book set that they collaborated on will inspire the next generation of Lego builders.
When I think about the fact that some kid might get my set for Christmas, it makes me think that, you know, I'm going to be influencing the next generation, providing them with the imagination and the initiative to start making their own things, their own stories.
With Lego, every gift has a story. Start your story today at your local Lego store.
Chelsea.
Yes, Allegra.
It is holiday time, baby. This episode's coming out on, like, what, Black Friday?
Black Friday.
Are you going to do some gift shopping?
I am.
Do you have your lists ready?
I mean, yeah, I think I do. But tell me more.
I think you should double check that list because is Quip on it?
Oh, no.
Because Quip is something that everyone is looking for this year. It's one of the most gift-guided gifts of the season. And Chelsea, this is why. It's perfect for everyone with a mouth. Chelsea, are you buying things for people with mouths this season?
Let me check. Let me double check. Oh, yes. I think they might have mouths.
Okay. Well, if they do, hopefully they do, this would be perfect because it's something they're going to use not just once, hopefully twice. Gonna hope it's twice. And the thing is, you're going to want to use it twice, Chelsea. Yes, you have a question, Chelsea. Chelsea is raising her hand.
I do have a question. I have more of a statement of, like, obviously, it's Black Friday, but we don't want those teeth to be black. No, ma'am.
Exactly. And the thing is, Quip is so good about helping you out with that because it has these, like, sonic vibrations and it's, like, super, like, nice and sensitive on your gums. And I have very, very particular gums. Personally, I do not know about the people on your list. Maybe I'm on your list. I don't know. But it has a timer that helps you, like, just go long enough, baby, so that you don't have to brush too long because that is annoying too. It's important to brush just long enough. And the coolest thing about Quip is that, like, okay, so if you have an electric toothbrush, you're like, I don't know, I don't want to, like, throw it out, but also it's been 3 months and that's gross and I should probably, like, get a new one, but I don't want to buy a new one. I love my Quip so much. It's silver, it's cute, it's millennial pink, whatever. They will automatically send you new brush heads every 3 months for just $5.
Just $5?
Just $5. And I'm not going to guess or tell you how much money you got in your pocket, but I'm hoping they give you at least $5 on that paycheck.
Maybe.
So, personally, Chelsea, I have done some gift shopping already. No offense. I mean, you're allowed to wait until Black Friday. I don't really care. When I love a person, I will spend the primo on them. And I have bought everyone on my list to Quip because I think it's a wonderful gift. I believe in the importance of brushing your teeth. I believe in the importance of aesthetic design. I believe in hardware. And you know what the most important hardware there is? It's your teeth.
Damn. Yep. Dropping the knowledge on my teeth.
Yep, baby. So if you want to get equipped too, if you want a nice white mouth for you and your friends, a nice old white mouth, Quip is the big ticket tech gift with a stocking stuffer price. Chelsea, I didn't even tell you how much it is yet. It starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/polygon, getquip.com/polygon right now, literally right now, Chelsea, you better freaking go there when we are done.
Okay.
You get your first refill pack for free when you buy a toothbrush. But don't tell the people on your list that, please. That's awkward.
No. That I never do.
Yeah, no. They should just think it's part of the deal. And then next year, maybe they'll get you equipped and you'll be like, bitch, I bought my own when I bought yours because I want Equip too.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that is GETQUIP.com/polygon for your first refill when you buy it. Have a great holiday, Chels.
You too, Allegra. You too. Oh, and your teeth.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lego and Quip, for sponsoring this episode of The Polygon Show. Do you guys have any final thoughts about Pokemon Let's Go?
It's very fun. It's really great. They took out the bicycle, which I'm really mad about.
What's the bicycle?
There was a bicycle in all the other Pokemon games except Sun and Moon. Ashley and I were ranting about this.
How do you go fast?
You have to ride a Pokemon.
What?
Which one do you?
I mean, I think like a lot. Someone showed me like a Genghis Khan one where like their partner Pokemon, in addition to the baby one, was in the pouch and they were like riding on its shoulder. That's cool. And I know you can ride a Charizard, which is cool, but I missed the bike. Was so fast. It was the best part of getting around in Pokemon.
And it has the best music.
Yeah, it does.
Mm. It's so
very
good.
Sad, but even with no bike, I highly recommend. I think it's a great game.
Whoa.
I just want to play it all the time.
It really makes me so happy that you're into it.
The time passes very quickly playing that freaking game.
Yeah.
Holy God. They just make it so easy to play.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to save this until we finish Game of the Year voting so I can play more stuff before.
Yeah.
How much is it?
I think it's 60.
60 freaking dollars.
Wait, play it before Game of the Year so you can... Does it not qualify for Game of the Year?
Why not? It does. I feel like I understand what that game is versus...
Can you vote for it? Can I sell you on voting for it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Simone,
you can't vote doctor. Yes, Ashley.
I'll take some money, Allegra. Give me some money. Give me some of your TV money.
Simone, do you want to tell us about She-Ra?
I do want to tell you about She-Ra because it came out while I was in my convalescence, while I was living like Lady Catherine de Bourgh's daughter last week. And I watched it all in one day. And it is absolutely freaking fantastic. So it is the reboot, basically, of old 1980s cartoon She-Ra, Princess of Power, except now it's She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. And it is a very funny, smart ensemble adventure show that I did have high hopes for going in because I watched the trailer and I was like, this is funny and pretty. And it definitely didn't disappoint me. So what is cool about it? What is cool about this show that I watched it all in one day and then immediately started watching it again? It has this incredible, basically, okay. So the show opens before the main character, Adora, knows that she is She-Ra, the legendary warrior who wields the legendary sword of power. So she is on the side of the literal evil horde. And over the course of the first episode, basically, it's her fighting the sword and kind of starting to discover her legacy. And when she obviously goes off to become She-Ra, she leaves behind her best friend in the horde, who is Catra, who has a lot of basically bad feelings about having been cast aside and that the fact that Adora was like, well, I guess fuck this. I'm going to go be She-Ra now and be awesome and be a princess. So Catra is lesbian culture, and I love her so fucking much.
I'm looking her
She's
up.
A cat lady. She has different colored eyes?
Heterochromia.
And heterochromia, yeah. And she's just kind of, she has a major attitude and a major chip on her shoulder from always basically being second best all of her life to Adora.
Oh.
And the whole show is built around, much like Killing Eve, this like intense rivalry between two women who are, Allegra just whispered, she is lesbian culture. She handed a picture of Catra to Ashley.
Oh, she's wonderful.
Yeah, she's cool.
Whoa.
She's super cool.
She's fucking great. And it's like there's so much tension between them. Just because like
this intense friendship that teen girls can have, and also when you're a soldier on different sides of the war, that, you know, compounds that as it does. But aside from that, and aside from Catra being a gay idol, the show's just really fucking funny. There's a scene, and I haven't logged into my Twitter in like a week or more, so I don't. People have probably tweeted at me about this. If you have, thank you. You understand me. There is a scene in episode 2 where Adora sees a horse for the very first time in her life.
Oh, what?
And it is very good. Uh-huh. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But it was one of the, I felt so seen. I laughed so hard. And I feel like comparing it to, like, there are so many good cartoons out there right now. And granted, I have not seen Steven Universe, so I can't speak to that. I know I should, and I will someday. But as far as, like, the stuff that's been kind of positioned as successors to Avatar, like Dragon Prince kind of was, and I found that so, so disappointing. This is not, like, it hasn't been positioned like that, but in terms of just the humor of it combined with the adventure, I feel like it's not Avatar level yet, but it's kind of giving me those vibes, and that kind of feeling of joy and adventure that early Avatar gave me. So yeah. I really recommend it. It's on Netflix.
How many episodes is it? Sorry.
I think like 10, but I can't remember, unfortunately. Yes, I think. I won't go on the record, Chelsea, with
an
answer
that
to that question.
For you.
Don't worry about it.
I meant to ask. Sorry if you already touched on this, but you mentioned that the Dragon Prince, even with its limited episode run, was disappointing.
Oh yeah, wait, you were out when we did our cartoon episode where I talked about that, right? How did you feel about the Dragon Prince?
I think it took me like a little bit to warm up to it.
Yeah.
But I definitely did get the vibes that it was coming off the heels of Avatar and Korra.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I don't know. I think that maybe it's an issue with, like, maybe I just need to see like another season, the next one when it comes out. But I just couldn't get very committed to caring about the characters very much. I don't know. And also it's so hard because I feel like nothing will come close to Avatar The Last Airbender for me, because it's just, God, the best show.
That's why I'm very careful to say it. This is not like the next coming of Avatar.
Wait, real quick. Did you guys watch Korra?
I watched two seasons of Korra.
Ooh, so good. Korra's the true next coming of Avatar.
Do you like Korra better than Avatar?
I mean, no, because Avatar is pretty much perfect, but I did really like Korra. So right now for me, I'm looking more for like something to fill that Korra hole.
Oh, this will fill your Korra hole.
Fill my Korra hole,
stop!
Baby.
Well, that
you made that gross.
Now that
me.
Is lesbian culture.
Oh my God.
In so many ways.
Oh. What was I going to say? Something about, oh, Dragon Prince. I don't know about you, Ashley, but I felt like the arc of the first season of Dragon Prince was really weird. Like the moment it ended on, it felt like it was not a season finale, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
This has a way stronger just first season arc.
The way the Dragon Prince ended for me felt like how the first season of Castlevania was, where it was like just beginning.
Yeah.
And it was like extremely frustrating for that to end on. But I really enjoyed the second season of Castlevania. So if you are even kind of interested, please God, watch it. It's so good.
That was going to be my follow up question, because I felt similar to you about the first season, where I was like, oh, wait, I'm just getting invested.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really,
I feel
pretty.
Like it was definitely good and necessary for setup. But like, I think my first reaction when I really thought the second season hit its stride was, I mean, aside from it having more episodes, I mean, that kind of helps, but I was just like, man, this is what season one I feel like should have been. I mean, it really like goes into it, and I don't know. I almost think, like, to a degree, you probably don't even need to watch the first season. It's a lot of very, like, slow character buildup, and it's like, you kind of just get, like, two things from it, right? I feel like two major things that it's like, I didn't need to spend X amount of hours. However, the animation is beautiful. I think it's a very, very wonderful show, and I love the second season. Please watch it if you haven't.
I will put that. Isn't,
yeah, I haven't,
like,
watched it at all.
Richard, what's his face? The voice?
Armitage.
Richard Armitage, yes.
Yes, he is in it. Also, James Callis from Battlestar Galactica. You might know him as Baltar.
God, Baltar's the best character.
God! Oh, what?! Dude, I mean, Baltar's the fucking worst.
He's the worst. He's the worst human, but you gotta love to hate Baltar because he's totally the most self-serving asshole.
Well, because, like, first he's just clueless and an asshole, and you're like, oh, Baltar. But then later on, as the show progresses, you're like, you're Justin. Why are you doing this?
I know, but that's why he's a perfect villain. That's why I like love his existence. I may not love him.
He's so... The thing is that, like, it's interesting that you call him a villain, too, because, like, there's nothing, like, malicious about him. He's just kind of dumb and greedy.
It's just so fun to go, damn it, Baltar, at your screen. Like, it's so...
But what is it? Yeah, I think he voices Dracula, actually.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Or wait, no.
Alucard? Or Dracula?
Oh, sorry. That's my bad. Richard Armitage is Trevor Belmont.
Belmont.
Which is so fun. And Alucard, who I always call Lestat, as you know, because
he basically looks like him.
He does. Anyway.
I knew there was something, some silly mistake that you'd made with regarding the Castlevania anime.
Man, I always make a dumb actor mistake.
I have a Shira question, just to go back to that really quickly.
Ask me.
Based off what you were saying about Castlevania, of like the first season, you know, just kind of gets to the end and just sort of is abrupt. Do you feel like Shira has like a good, it's 13 episodes, by the way. I looked it up. Do you feel like it has a good complete arc for the first season?
Very,
or
very,
like,
much.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the main flaw that I noticed is like you were saying, the animation in Castlevania is very, very good. Sometimes the animation in Shira is like just for background characters and things and just details in the background, it's less than good. Sometimes it's incredible. And then sometimes it's clear, like, maybe they put a lot of money into the Princess Prom episode, as they should, because it was incredible. And less money into this other episode, where there are some villagers standing around with wonky faces.
Oh my God. I'm excited about the prom episode.
It's fucking cool. Great.
Yeah, you should have led with, there's a prom episode. It sounds...
All I want Even to think about is the fucking prom episode, but I don't want to spoil anything about it because it's just so good.
Right. I'm going to edit my list of things I'm grateful for to include watching She-Ra as the thing I will do on Thanksgiving.
It will be
underwear.
Very enjoyable for you.
Yeah.
Prom episode, episode 8.
I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm not supposed to whisper anymore. Episode 8. Yeah, I'm sure there are definitely other flaws. That's not like the only flaw.
The only flaw.
The so flaw.
I mean, it can't be as bad as a character runs past a repeating background kind of.
No, not that bad.
Have you ever seen, I think I wrote a story about it for Polygon.com, but you guys know Berserk?
Mm-hmm.
Manga,
yeah,
an anime. They brought the anime back, or they,
oh,
you know, made,
god, that was
anime.
So I remember. Yeah. I also remember editing that story. And
yeah. Holy hell!
One of the few stories that made it past Chelsea's desk of mine about weird things.
I don't like this lore, and I'm very upset by it.
But you guys should look that up if you haven't seen it.
Oh, I've seen it.
Terrible animation, literally stiff faces. Everyone, though, like the main character,
it
too.
Was so.
It's so funny.
Like, that's a style, though.
No, but no. It's a bad style.
It's like, like, it's not even the style. It's just like so cheap that everything moves so like rigidly, and it looks like people's faces are melting off.
Did you see the new movie,
the Berserk movie?
Yeah.
Is it 2D or CG?
No, it's just anime.
What,
okay,
a headline!
That's the
Allegra.
Problem with this. It's CG. I didn't see the movie. Wait, what was my headline?
Allegra's headline is, the Berserk anime is really, really ugly.
Allegra!
Thanks for letting that one go,
oh
Chelsea.
Oh my God.
Sometimes I'm known to let something slide.
I'm going to reheat that one.
Wow. Listen, people worked really hard.
No. If you look at the screenshots in this article, and there are GIFs, I think. Oh boy.
Yeah, I saw a GIF where he left an area like you put, you know, like you would make those puppets on popsicle sticks during camp, and then when you have them move, you go boop, 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 boop.
I mean, that would be endearing.
I mean, that's what he's doing right now. Yeah. He's doing a boop, 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 boop. Anyway.
If they made that sound, I'd be fine with whatever.
Someone's down there with the paper cut out. I'm gonna just presenting my Berserk play.
You should just do the like redub them and do the Foley work.
Yeah. All on popsicle sticks.
I'm gonna get my sword. Oh my God.
That's how I narrate Crunchwrap's like little hop walk when he's like happy to see me. He'll like run from one end to the other and he'll be like boop, 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 boop. His paws just look so dainty. Okay, sorry. On that note, though.
Yay.
Thank you for listening to this very strange episode of The Polygon Show. It is Vox Media's podcast rate and review / appreciation week. So we would really like it if you could rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. Or tell a friend, of course, you would make us very happy if you left us a review. Simone, you have an example of a fantastic review that we see. Yes, we see these reviews with our eyeballs.
I do. This is from Chris Pedersen, and it was left a year ago. The review is 5 stars, and it's entitled, "It's About Time. Someone had the stones to put my degenerate seltzer drinking hiney in its place. All the important topics of our modern world, like arm girth, are discussed with the verve and passion worthy of these trying times. Very happy this show exists. Thank you."
Arm girth.
I'm thinking back to our arm girth episode, and really, it was a classic.
All right.
Do you have one, Ashley?
I do. It's by Carbon Juice. 5 stars. Thank you. It's called Finally. I really appreciate how much time they dedicate to speculation about the texture of various video game characters' bodies. Just one of the ways this video game podcast is such a breath of fresh air, if not an outright revelation. Thank you, Carbon Juice. Love to talk about textures here at the Polygon Show.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. And of course, we're thankful for all of our wonderful listeners. And if you have a question you'd like to ask us, please email us at polygonshow@polygon.com and we may read it on the air. Thank you. And this has been The Polygon Show.